Welcome back to Word Up with Dani Katz. I am your host, Dani Katz. I am an author, journalist, and a quantum languaging coach and consultant. What that means is that I teach people how language programs consciousness, how language programs reality at large, and how to transform reality and evolve our consciousness with language. I've also been known to cultivate and share an opinion or two or 12 about culture and consciousness and how they are evolving, devolving, and being manipulated by the powers that were. Here at Word Up, we are devoted to fostering critical thinking while supporting you in becoming your most authentic, empowered, liberated, realized, amazing version of yourself. Our every show aims to expand your consciousness, raise your frequency, sharpen your critical thinking skills, and make you giggle. And think. Given the radical uptick in censorship over the past few years, combined with the complete co-opting slash decimation of my own personal industry, journalism, I started Word Up to have a free speech-friendly platform in which to engage exploratory, solutions-based conversations with visionaries, mystics, original thinkers, and rebel badasses who are helping to make the world more wonderful. The first half of my interviews run between 30 to 90 minutes and are always posted here for free public listening. The second halves are reserved for paid supporters on my Patreon and my Locals platforms, where for as little as $5 a month, you can access all of my second half conversations along with oodles of other bonus content and opportunities to drop in with me, to drop in with our High Vibe tribe, and lots of other awesome things. In addition to interviews, Word Up also features quantum languaging upgrades, planetary service announcements, and propaganda analysis, which I call Spot the Propaganda. Thank you so much for tuning in and for sharing your sacred attention with me and our High Vibe tribe of change makers. Be sure to click that subscribe button so you can stay abreast of our every episode. Thank you for also clicking the like button, for sharing far and wide, and for leaving some kind words as a review as you are authentically inspired. As well, if you are gleaning any value whatsoever from these shows, consider supporting me on Locals and or Patreon. And as you are wanting to learn more about my quantum languaging coaching and consulting services or nab copies of my books, find me on DaniKatz.com as well as on quantumlanguaging.com. Okay, I think that's it for our housekeeping. Buckle up and prepare to enjoy this episode of Word Up with Dani Katz. Hey, superstars, welcome back to another episode of Word Up with Dani Katz. Today I am joined by John Kerwin, the author of the Conspiracy Theorist Survival Guide. I've had John on the podcast before, and today we dove into the overuse of the word slash accusation shill in the truther community, as well as the mandala effect as seen through the lens of biblical prophecy. It is a juicy, if out there, conversation, but you guys are used to me having those out there conversations. So buckle up and prepare to enjoy my conversation with John Kerwin. So I started to watch, I didn't watch the whole thing, but your solo podcast on the flagrant use of shill, the word shill and calling
okay.
Shills.
Was that the podcast?
It was your video yourself, but I just, like, full disclosure, I got a little triggered. And then I looked up the word shill and I looked up the etymology and you were totally right. And it was like such a wake-up call of looking into the definitions, because I didn't know that shill inferred a knowingness.
Yep.
So I'm super excited to talk to you about this.
Awesome. That's kind of a front burner topic. I just started my podcast. So I got four episodes And the one that I just posted, I talked about this issue on the front end where, you know, truthers act like normies a lot around this topic. You know what normies are like. They're reactionary. They don't look into it. And they'll begin immediately jump into your grill and tell you you're crazy, but they don't look at it. So it's sort of that same head where they're just not really thinking through what they're saying. If you call somebody a shill, that means you're like a premeditated criminal, liar. It's not like I'm just deceived or I'm a different place than you are, you know?
Yeah. Well, I really want to dive into it and look at this from all angles. I'm curious to know, what inspired you to open up this dialogue? Like, are there a few key pieces of shill calling that inspired you to hop on this topic?
Yep. Yeah. All I've done for the last 7 years is just kind of chronicle what I'm observing and what I'm going through. So I just wear my life on my sleeve. I tend to be like, you know, overly transparent sometimes, but it seems to be working. Like, people relate to the fact that I'm not trying to be like some spiritual leader that's got it all together, you know?
Yeah.
So what I've been observing is this people in the truther community, not everybody, but a lot of people seem to be trigger happy, where they're throwing this term around. In a lot of cases, it's if anybody does good. Okay. So this, the perception is if somebody's out there in power structure and they're doing good, they're a shill because everybody's a shill. That's the prop. That's the narrative. In fact, China just there's a report from the Department of Defense saying China just launched this PSYOP on America, and the goal of it is to get you us to be discouraged, to stop trying.
Okay? Well, that's not new. I mean, our own government has been pulling that on us for a really long time.
Okay, but my point is that I believe is this, that this everybody's a shill narrative, is the goal of it is the same. It's to try to get us to give up, because why bother creating a podcast and being a content creator and trying to make a difference if everybody's a shill? Everybody's, you know, what do you call it?
Controlled opposition.
Controlled opposition, right. So, and then the other part of it is, like you said, I saw a lot of Christians where, you know, let's say somebody's a flat earther, but they're not, they don't believe the Mandela effect. Well, they would call that person, they're a flat earther, but they also believe the Mandela, they would say, oh, that person's a shill, just because they have a different viewpoint on some conspiracy theory. And I said, you know, if you're a truther, then you're throwing that word around. You're worse than they are.
Well, let's slow it down.
Okay.
So how are you defining truther?
Yes, of course. It's a very good question. I've identified two groups or mindsets, and they both have a very specific presenting characteristic. The first one is what we call the unconvinced, what I call them, or the normie, which is said to be derogatory. However, they name themselves that because they tell us they want us to be normal. So that's why we call them normies.
So what is a normie?
Okay, a normie is someone that says and lives like they don't know and they don't want to know.
Okay, so someone operating with deep denial?
Yeah, the people who they tell you, if you try to show them the main conspiracies, like the moon landing is fake, NASA's lying, 9/11 was an inside job, those types of topics are met with a uncharacteristic unwillingness to even examine your proof. So
yes.
they don't know and they don't want to know.
Yes.
They are willfully ignorant. That's one group. Then you have this other group, which has had some sort of spiritual awakening with this, where the veil's been pulled back and they saw one of these conspiracies and it caused them to say, well, if that's not true, what else isn't true? And now they're the opposite of I don't know and I don't want to know. they're saying, I do know, and I want to continue to know. I want to know more. So now the two parties are going in two opposite directions.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious, like, as far as you're hooking into this, who, like, who's being called a shill that you feel is unfair?
Okay, great question. And we're not recording, right? We're just talking in the...
Oh, no, we're totally recording.
We are? Oh, you snagged me. Okay, so...
I always start recording before we even hop on.
All right, so then... Who's being called a shill is what I think is the part of the problem, is people are throwing that term around recklessly. So they're one of the people who's being called a shill unnecessarily is just people who have a different view than you, right?
So is there anyone, are there any examples you can think of?
Yeah, like the one I just gave. If you and I have a different belief about the moon landing, we'll use that as an example. You have other conspiracy theories that you believe and that I also believe, so we agree on some things, but let's just say the moon landing, you say, no, I believe we went to the moon. And then I say, no, I think that that was fake. And then because of that, you call me a shill just because I have a different view on something.
Okay, so just to be clear, and this is why I'm so glad that you brought this into my sphere, because I feel like it's so important for us to define our terms so mm-hmm. that we know what we're talking about.
Exactly.
Personally, like full transparency, I have called plenty of people who are getting a lot of media play shills. Now, your podcast inspired me to look that up and realize, oh, I've been using this term incorrectly. Mm-hmm. So I think I have been conflating it with pawn. But yes. I also feel like there's veracity to the verb shilling. I think yes. that pawns can unwittingly shill for agendas that they don't know about.
Yes.
And I do think that there's a responsibility for those who have been placed at the front of the room to do their due diligence around the operations that they are, like, may or may not be unwittingly shilling for, but are absolutely shilling Correct. For. So when I'm using that term, I'm not referencing, and like, no offense to you or me, I know we both have books, we both have podcasts, we're doing a lot of great work, but I never use that term in terms of like private citizens on the ground. I tend to use that term, and admittedly mistakenly, for people with big platforms yeah. who have been placed at the front of the room, who are steering, you know, tribes and communities mm-hmm. and conversations in service to agendas that they may or may not know that they're serving. So like, I haven't used the term shill in terms of like just private citizens having a different opinion. So I'm curious to know how that lines up with this larger conversation that you're yep. so into right now.
Yeah, it's a great point. So we all sort of agree that the higher up in the power structure that you go, the higher the probability is that somebody is counterintelligence. They're co-opting the movement. They're not what they appear to be. They're knowingly lying. So
yes.
the highest office of the, you know, you don't get into the high offices unless you're in the club. So
Correct.
We pretty much assume if you're the president, you're a shill. You might be saying all this, promising all these things and doing things for the people, but oh, behind your back, you're setting this up for destruction, right? You're knowingly lying.
Yes.
Then as you come down in the power structure, I think we all would agree that there's more probability that some people actually have a soul. They don't want, you know, they're not an anti-human Illuminati person, right? They're just there and they're good people and they want freedom, you know?
Maybe,
right. There's and then there's varying degrees of corruption. You have the good old boy governor who's in Tennessee, you know, who's actually, you know, not a pedophile Luciferian. And then you got the people like the mayor or governor of New York, the lady in Missouri. And then you got the guy in California, Gavin Newsom. I mean, these people are demons, right? But not all of the politicians are completely sold out, all the way down the food chain. So of higher you go, the more percentage. Like I'll ask people, what percentage of congressmen and senators do you believe are either bribed or blackmailed? I believe it's basically 100%.
Same.
100%.
Same.
The entire power structure is captured at this point. But
Correct.
as you go down into, there's probably close to 2 million people that work directly or indirectly for the federal government. 2 million, when you factor in all the contractors and everybody. Are all of them completely corrupt and criminals? I don't believe so. I believe just like the bad people infiltrate the system, so do good people. You're good, I'm good, and
Right, but
we're in positions of power in the media, some so to speak.
are we? I mean,
We're influencers.
well, and again, like this is so, I'm so happy that we get to parse this out together.
Yes.
But like I've gotten a number of YouTube strikes. My YouTube account is severely limited. I
Yeah.
have very few privileges on YouTube at this point. But I see people like Russell Brand, pre false flag sex scandal, who have liberty to say whatever they want on YouTube.
Yes.
Why is that? Like why are some people given license to speak about the things that the rest of us are given strikes for or are totally deplatformed for?
Right. So this is the perception battle that we're in, where we have to try to parse how what I call the data sphere, the power structure, how the power structure, which is systematically evil, is treating certain people. Right. So you
Yes.
mentioned that you're being censored. Okay. Now, my everybody's a shill narrative talk is pointing out that as you go up in the power structure, anybody that's doing good that gets attacked is viewed as a shill, like you're saying with Russell Brand. How is he being able to do good and still be allowed to run free? He must be a shill. Now, you, on the other hand, are being attacked, but you don't consider yourself a shill. I don't think you're a shill, but you're being attacked also. So he's being attacked, and you're being attacked because he is being attacked.
Well, all right. Again, let's slow it down. So Russell Brand is a Hollywood celebrity.
Yeah.
He comes out of that realm. Russell Brand was speaking all the truths that, we're happy to be hearing. And the same week that he was on Joe Rogan,
Right.
all of a sudden I heard on his own podcast, he's pushing the UFO narrative, which for anyone and I personally steer clear of most identitarian labels, but there's truther, and like I consider myself a journalist, right? I just
Excellent.
report truth, right?
Yes.
So any good journalist, any good truther is going to recognize patterns, right? I think that's one of the keys that allows us to see
Yes,
truth.
great point. I like that. I like
So
that. I got
no, so what I've observed with a lot of people who are shills are shilling. Our controlled opposition that they'll share 99% truths and then they'll poison those truths with a little bit of the ops. With Joe Rogan, it'll be ripping on Trump, or it will be pretending not to know about all the conspiracies that he used to talk about 15 and 20 years ago. With Russell Brand, I'm seeing, oh, he's really great on FOVID and, the globalist agenda, but at the same moment that he's getting put on this large platform, he's also shilling, using the verb, for the fake UFO psyop. So I can't pretend not to see what I'm seeing. And I can't pretend not to see the markers of controlled opposition when I see them coming out of a Hollywood celebrity's mouth.
Okay, not that I disagree. I'm not defending him. I'm just taking a, a step back and trying to analyze how we interpret the news was what we're doing here. So you made the observation about he's shilling for the UFO. It is possible that he's just not awake like you are to the UFO phenomenon. That's my point. He could just have a different opinion
It's
and it not
possible,
mean
but
he's premeditatedly lying to promote an agenda. He may be promoting his agenda, which is different than yours. That's different than being
maybe.
controlled
Well,
opposition.
yes,
And again, so much of this, like, we're not living in a vacuum, right?
Yep.
So no one gets on Joe Rogan, who's a total wild card, and isn't going to fall in line in some way. And I know this from watching the show, putting the pieces together. So I do think that that's eyebrow raising. We also know that we've seen Russell Brand talking about his love for Freire, who's a Marxist. We see him in various photographs with Noah Yuval Harari, who's pushing the genocidal agenda. And again, he's been on YouTube for all these years saying the stuff that got the rest of us strikes or deplatformed. So, yes, of course, there's a leap, but in my experience, my leaps, like my track record on my leaps is rock solid.
What is a
And
leap? What do you mean a leap?
I am taking the leap to, yes, I believe that Russell Brand is a shill.
Oh, I
Now,
see. Okay.
some of the people who I've called shills, I'll roll that back, like Brett Weinstein.
Right,
He's more
right.
of a pawn who is shilling.
Excellent. I like that. All right, so let me jump in because there's a thought here I want to interject. So I agree with everything you're saying. So just so you're clear, I'm not disagreeing. So we have a shill, which is a known or premeditatedly lying. Like in the court system, there's like first degree murder where you sat there and planned it out and then you executed the plan versus manslaughter, involuntary manslaughter, where you kill somebody in your car. It's totally different mindset. It's an accident. Okay, so in the same sense, you have the shill who's a criminal, and then you have somebody that, let's say, is compromised. So they're actually a good person in a sense, but they got caught on camera with little boys in the bed or something. They got something on them,
Is that a
right?
good person?
Well, I'm distinguishing them between the person that came into it as a premeditated liar from the beginning versus they didn't. And now, but they're in a tough spot. And they basically either have to completely bail or compromise a little. See, this is the point. This is not a black and white thing. There's a
Correct.
linear scale of corruption. You could
Totally.
be super corrupt or you could be a little corrupt. So somebody might be a little compromised. And so on certain things, they're playing the game with the power structure. But over here, they're actually still trying to stay in the game. And that brings me to the next idea, which is you may have somebody that is good, they're not a shill, and they're not compromised. But like in politics, sometimes you have to take the lesser of two evils. You either get a little bit or you get nothing. So you've got these bills that they put through, what they call pork fat in them. And the other side will say, well, I'll give you your bill, but you're going to have to put this money in for my people, which is ridiculous and terrible, but that's the game. And then we see the guy promising one thing but allowing this other thing. Well, you voted for that money for them. Well, if I didn't do that, you would have got nothing. So it's not a perfect system. But then that person is branded as a shill because they have to play this wicked game. So it's my point is that I think that how we're analyzing what we're seeing has to be more sophisticated if we're going to be accurate.
I
That's
agree. I agree. And I feel like we need a new word, right? Because
yes.
I do agree with you that premeditated, that knowingness
Yes.
of the wrongdoing seems to make shill not necessarily the right word in all cases. But so when we first, the FOVID op was first launched
Yeah.
and they were pushing these lockdowns and these mask mandates here in Santa Fe, I reached out to every city council member as well as our mayor, and I sent them links and studies and articles and like did all my research and sent it to them and said, please look through these before making any hard and fast decisions. And either they did or they didn't, but they went through with their nonsense. Now they have blood on their hands, genocide on their hands,
Right.
and generate, small businesses that were in families for generations that have been completely destroyed. Are they innocent? Did they shill? Are they shills? Like what?
Right, right.
No, where does that fall in?
I totally get it. So you get in, like, I think a lot of people maybe, and of course the time that we're in, like, it used to be different. Politicians would not go for life tenure. They would go for 4 years and then they'd go back to their farms in Kentucky or whatever. So things have evolved. But right. So that, let's say the person that certain people, oh, my screen just went off. Hold on. Can you still hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. Once they get there, you know, they get into the system, then they get compromised. If they're going to stay in the system, the only way they're going to stay is if they're compromised. And so that means they're a shill. Basically, they fit the definition from that point on. So, a different terminology would be somebody that's two-faced. They're fronting. They're disingenuous. They're, you know, got their fingers crossed behind their back. They're basically lying about what they're really going to do. And so then our problem as people trying to figure out what's going on is not only will they lie to us through their words, they'll lie to us through their actions. So you'll watch two senators battling it out on the floor of the Senate like they want to kill each other, and then you'll see them in the hallway glad-handing each other. Oh, man, you really went after me, didn't you? Yeah, that was a great... It's all a show.
Yes.
So how are we as mere mortals supposed to evaluate what's really going on? How do we get the truth if everybody's a shill? The only result or answer I've gotten is what I call triangulation. Unless you have a personal friend or a relative in the power structure, you really don't know what's going on. You can only have an educated guess.
I think, and I don't mean to be contentious, but, you know, we're playing devil's advocate here. One can follow the money. And I think once one knows the agenda, like you look at someone like David Icke, and regardless of what we think of his body of work, which he's been consistently devoted to for years, he called a lot of the stuff that we're living through now.
Yeah.
You know, anyone who read Project for a New American Century, their mission statement back when they put that out, we knew where this was going.
Yes.
Granted, we were taking educated guesses, but we've been right about it, you know, and you follow the money and the interests involved. You know, look at, so Obama passed the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act in 2013. Mm-hmm. Soon after, he was given a production deal for several million dollars with Netflix, and Susan Rice was named to the board of Netflix. So yeah. Granted, I wasn't in those rooms. I don't know for sure that Netflix is set up as a propaganda arm of the US government, but it seems pretty clear that that's what's happening.
Yeah, it's a great point. Follow the money. And then you also have the observation with people, this is a very common one, they don't believe the person is genuine because of what they don't say.
That one's kind of, if I take issue with that one as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then people will evaluate someone based on if they're doing Freemason handshakes. I get that a lot. Well, why do you think so-and-so's a shill? Well, because he did the secret handshakes. Okay. But he's got this body of things over here that he's done for the better of humanity. And he got a funky looking handshake. That's a tough sale for me. Or he's got occult activity, or, you know, basically the number one evaluation tool for me is it's not what you say, it's what you do. That's going to determine, it's the strongest determining factor of whether you really, what you really mean. Like, your actions speak louder than your words, but even that can be faked. Like I was saying, the senators could look like they're killing each other, but they're really not. So it's very difficult to try to discern what's really happening.
I understand that the term shill is being swung about recklessly. Do think you're on point there. That being said, like, the more that I learn about the world and learn how corrupt and controlled it is, I realize that most, I'm looking for exceptions in my mind, but people with big platforms, people who are at the front of the room leading movements and whatnot, are not put there by accident. They're put there because they can be controlled. Whether they can be controlled knowingly or controlled because of an ego ignorance combo, I'm still waiting to see exceptions to this.
All right. So, right. So this is an underlying current that I just think we should become aware of. And this is the idea of cynicism. So all of us are jaded. We've all been so abused by the power structure, by religion, by education system, pharmaceutical industry, military industrial complex. They've all lied to us, the politicians especially. And so we're just gun shy, right? So we become cynical, which is not a good characteristic trait. It's a disempowering character. It's not the same as being wise as a serpent, right? Or discerning, you know, you're fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. I'm not saying drop your guard. You need to have your kung fu on and know what's really going on. But at the same time, what we're seeing is we're seeing the farmers in Europe just drove their tractors into the middle of town and they got them to reverse. They said, all right, we'll give you $400 million in subsidies. And they all went home. They won. Okay. Mm-hmm. I just saw in Canada, all the doctors said no more. They're not going to do euthanasia against mentally retarded people. They revolted. Doctors are revolting. I'm watching sports figures, politicians, or not politicians, like Jerry Seinfeld is in an interview and the interviewer starts trying to pepper him with questions about woke stuff, racism, and he shut him down ruthlessly. And I'm watching.
Well, hold up. Did he shut him down ruthlessly because he disagreed or because he didn't want to talk about it?
Because he disagreed. He said, this is nonsense. It's not real. And I'm not going to do it. And then this, I know. And so I've never seen that before. So here's my point. Us truthers, us people that are content creators, especially believe that we can make a difference. However, because we're cynical, when the difference starts happening, we don't even see it. We don't even, you know, have a little victory lap, right? Because we're so thinking that we can't affect anything because all the power structure is locked up. No, the power structure do not have godlike powers.
Correct.
They're censoring you, Danny, for a reason.
Correct.
Because you are influential and you're message makes change. So that's kind of the underlying message of the idea that everybody's a shill needs to be walked back a little bit, because the underlying current of that is two things. One of them is cynicism, which kind of blinds you to hope, right? We should have the ability to be optimistic in the midst of a battle. Optimism overcomes all kinds of adversity. So we rally the troops. People flourish under an environment of encouragement. And so we can take the land. We can make a difference. We can go in and make change like the farmers did or the doctors.
And then notice the farmers and the doctors are making change not on American soil. Like, I'm not here. Aside from one A-list celebrity who has so much FU money that he can pretty much do whatever he wants.
Yep.
And I'm not doubling down on cynicism. I'm not defending that, but I'm not seeing any of that type of courage or fortitude or agency being demonstrated here en masse.
Oh yeah. We had a trucker cavalcade, whatever you call it. They went to Washington. They all got hammered. And there's all kinds of uprising in different sectors. And I don't forget, the other aspect of this that I see behind this tendency to be trigger happy with accusing people of being corrupt, when With all honesty, we don't really know. Like I said, you believe it's true, but you don't know. They may have had an epiphany the night before. Now they're a good person, or you know, God might have visited them or whatever. Is this sense that it allows somebody to feel significant in a way. So I'm almost parroting the CIA talking point. Tell them that they gravitate towards these things because they're insecure and it makes them feel insignificant or significant. So it's very easy to throw out this term, oh, he's a shill, because it kind of puts you out there like, and I'm not saying this is you, that you're an expert, you know, because I've talked to different people in the community who are, they have this air of superiority about what they've learned. And they tell me, they look down their nose at these other truthers because they only know this, but I'm way up here, you know? And I'm like, you know, you don't really know that much if you look at the entire spectrum of what's to be known. So you should probably stay humble. But I think there's a part of that too with just wanting to show how much in the know people are. So they overuse that attack vector. It's sort of like gossip or bearing false witness, one of the Ten Commandments. If you're going to call somebody a liar, you better know it's true before you open your mouth publicly. That's my place.
I agree. And I do think that it's very reckless and damaging to the larger social fabric to be name calling, mm-hmm. Whether it's shill or normie or libtard or trumper or like whatever they are. So let's take RFK and his very interesting ideas about what's happening in Israel. Is he a shill? Is he shilling?
I don't really know enough about him or his beliefs to make an opinion for it, honestly. Mm-hmm. Sort of outside my purview. Israel, too, is always a question mark to me. I know enough to be dangerous. The idea that I get with Israel is that the Zionists aren't Israel. It's the synagogue of Satan. That's what it's called in the Bible. And so just like the government's been captured with people from without, the Jews and Israel has been captured. Same way. So they're getting the blame. So you got this one ethnic group, you know, called Jews, but they're ruled by these Zionists who aren't really Jews. They're Kabbalists. It's the Khazarian mafia. So whatever, I don't know what his positions are. I mean, I could try to.
He's pretty much defending the Khazarian mafia.
Is he?
Yeah, 100%.
Well, that's not good.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And he's spewing quote unquote facts that are blatantly untrue.
Right.
Blatantly untrue. Right. So it's like, no, I'm not in his head to say, like, you know, I'm not in his bank account, but I do know that Bill Ackman is one of his biggest funders, and Bill Ackman is a ginormous Zionist. I know that he's heavily invested in venture capital, or excuse me, Vantage Point Capital, and is heavily invested personally in the techno-fascist enslavement future. So again, it's like, no, none of us can know anything mm-hmm. about anyone.
Yeah.
But, you know, coming from the perspective of, as a journalist who's, you know, learned how to investigate, learned how to follow the money, learned how to spot the markers over the past 24 years of challenging the dominant narrative, there are things that we can start to recognize.
Right. So I guess shill, to more accurately define it in our matrix, in our lexicon, would be someone that tailors what they publicly claim to be true based on other people who are influential to them. So donors, you know, the people we see in the news aren't journalists, they're actors.
Right.
They're just reading scripts. There's nothing to do with journalism. So, but a politician, let's say, can't exist unless he's got these big donors. So an example in the church is you might be a pastor and you're preaching the truth of the gospel, unfettered, right? But then, you know, you have these few rich people in your church and they're big donors, right? And they might come up to you and say, I'd really like you to preach more on this, pastor. So then the pastor's weak. So he starts tailoring his talks. Instead of obeying God, he's obeying Mr. Moneybags.
Yes.
So it's the same kind. So he's shilling now. So, and again, that's, I see that as being on a linear scale. It might not be 100% shilling, which is, I think, an important distinction.
Yeah, because, I mean, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, because what happens is we're trying to determine who we can trust.
Exactly.
Who is giving me the truth? That's the difference between citizen journalists. Basically, is that we don't have anybody paying us a salary, so we're only in this for the love of the truth. We're upset. We're activists based out of principle, and we don't have anybody breathing down our necks telling us to say certain stuff. So we're going to give you the truth, but 99% of the time, we're only getting our truth from some other person that got the truth. Our viewpoint is typically the amalgamation of six or seven other people that we listen to. Because where do you get, you know, you're going to some source that's people that have resources, that have analysts and journalists, and they go around and they get this article, you know, they get this thing here, and then they give it to you. And then you look at it and say, well, that sounds true. Let me confirm their sources. Okay, the article is on the government website or whatever their source is. Okay, well, the source seems legitimate, so I guess the article is true. Is their analysis consistent with what I believe? So that's kind of our journey, right? Mm-hmm. How else are we going to know what we think?
Yeah, it's a good point. A lot of times I'll see these disagreements and I'm like, we have two people just parroting what their favorite, you know, pundit or influencer said.
Yeah, right.
And that's pointless. You know, it's, right. I completely agree on that one. And I think this is why it's so important that we learn to do our own due diligencing and we learn to do our own fact checking. It's why, you know, when I'm teaching my pop propaganda class, you know, a big part of it, the 11th module is like teaching people how to follow the money, how to check sources, how to check who funds those sources, how to look for conflicts of interest. Because unfortunately, I think where we're at, we all do have to be our own journalists.
Yes.
And also because even if people are totally trustworthy and well-intended, we all have blind spots.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So there's no seeing through them. But I want to give you another example, and I'd love your take on this. Awesome. Because I see a conflation happening around the shill conversation as a smokescreen to protect people who I believe are controlled opposition. And, you know, we are at war. We're not currently in this country in a ground war, but we're certainly in a psychological war, a war of words, a war of propaganda, you know, unmistakably. And we saw so many of our loved ones being snowed into taking these genocidal injections. So I think the stakes are very high to safeguard people from giving their allegiance to those who don't truly have their best interests in mind, you know, from a true place of caring. So I noticed probably 2022, in the health freedom movement, there was a huge split between the virus, no virus camp. And it was kind of a vicious split where the no virus people, you know, were calling the virus people shills. And the virus people were saying that the no virus people were trying to subvert the movement and trying to sabotage the movement. And there was ill will in that split. There still is a lot of ill will in that split.
Yep.
And I dug in because I'm a digger-inner.
Yes.
And so Steve Kirsch does most of the funding for Children's Health Defense.
Uh-huh.
And Children's Health Defense was quietly trying to silence the no virus conversation. And I had people speaking to me privately saying, well, that's going to get you kicked out of a lot of groups and a lot of conversations if you continue down this road. And it wasn't said in a friendly way.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up speaking to Steve Kirsch on the phone And he said, I will not fund anyone who questions the existence of a virus. Now, Steve Kirsch, who made his billions creating digital currencies for the central banks, who has One Touch ID, a digital ID company. So he has made his money and is personally invested in a techno-fascist enslavement future. Mm-hmm. He is also on the sly funding a newer, safer vaccine being created by one Robert Malone. So if we're going to follow the money,
right?
It wouldn't work for him to have people questioning the existence of the virus when he's financially invested in the remedy for the virus that he's actively squelching conversation around whether it's real or not. I think it's fair to call him a shill. Mm-hmm. And I think it's fair to call anyone who's trying to silence the conversation a shill.
Yes. So again, to try to clarify what our terminology is, and based on what you just said, a shill would be somebody that has a very strong hidden agenda.
It seems pretty hidden that Kirsch is funding a vaccine.
Right. So, and again, like shill rises to the level of first degree murder, where you get 25 to life. If it's manslaughter, you might get 3 to 5.
Yep.
So it's a different crime. So for somebody to rise to the level in our minds of being a shill, which is a accomplice of a hawker, gambler, or swindler who acts as an enthusiastic customer to entice or encourage others. So they're acting, they're bold-faced lying compared to somebody that just has a different, they disagree with you.
Right.
Somebody that disagrees with you is not necessarily a bold-faced liar.
Of course.
All right. So, but based on what you just outlined, that scenario where somebody has a very strong hidden agenda. It's not a small hidden agenda. It's major.
Yeah.
All right. And they're not disclosing that. And then they're out here saying whatever they're saying. That would be someone that's a shill for my definition.
What dictionary are you referencing right now?
That I just read from the online Oxford Dictionary.
So Oxford Dictionary, in my experience, mm-hmm. is super compromised.
Really?
And I'm a dictionary nerd. I actually collect vintage dictionaries. So from my experience, Cambridge is the least compromised of the name brand dictionaries.
Mm-hmm.
But my preference is always the off brands. So I'm looking on Cambridge, and it says someone who helps another person to persuade people to buy something.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously these are antiquated definitions, right? Because they're so specific. I feel like we don't have the right word. Like the right word for what we're all kind of speaking around, I don't think exists. You know?
Right. There's a connotation when we label somebody a shill that they're really slimy. Like it's really a nasty business they're involved in. It's not just they disagree with us or they even have a hidden agenda. So for instance, there was a guy, Peter Popoff, I think his name was. He was supposedly a healing evangelist, and he had an earphone in his ear, and his wife is out there in the audience, like interviewing people, trying to get dope on him. Oh, you have cancer. And then she would call into his ear. The lady in the third row in the pink dress has cancer. And then he'd be like, the Lord is telling me that you have cancer. Well, that's slimy. I mean, that's as slimy as you can get. So part of the shill, I think, if I'm just thinking out loud, to get the label of a shill, you know, you got to be really trying to hurt people, or you got to be taken from people. You know, your motive is nasty and it's big, you know, versus somebody that just disagrees with you and they have their hidden reasons, right? So everybody that disagrees with you has a motive for disagreeing with you.
Or they just, you know, are ignorant or have their own beliefs, a fixed idea.
Yeah.
I'm taking ownership that I might not really understand what this word means, but as far as the like sliminess or the nefarious intent, like, is that your own personal association with the word? I feel like the stakes are so high with what's going on right now.
Yeah, right.
You're the perfect example of like, you have made so many personal sacrifices because you know how high the stakes are and you're not willing to compromise in right. your attempts to safeguard justice and truth and liberty because you get it. So I think, you know, there's something different in going along with the lie to get some more money for the church's coffers or to sell, you know, a couple more pairs of sneakers versus a genocidal enslavement agenda that we're right. just going to pretend that we don't notice.
Right. That's it. That's what I'm saying. There's levels of corruption.
Right.
And it's really on our side of it, we're evaluating whether a public servant is actually a public servant or are they there just to feather their nest? Like if you look at the income or the net worths of all the congressmen and senators, if you're not worth $20 million, you're on the way on the low end. All of them start at like $30, $40 million, and they go up to the $150 million, $250 million net worth of all of them.
Right. So,
but if you research what they were worth when they arrived, they might have had $250,000 in the bank, maybe.
Right.
So what does that tell you? It's a giant ATM machine. In fact, the top 10 zip codes per capita, 9 of them are in and around Washington, D.C. The other one's Silicon Valley. So 9 out of 10 of the top zip codes where people make the most money is all in and around Washington. So people go there for the money and the power, and it's not have anything to do with being a public servant and being a good person. And if you are that person, you're walking into a wolf's den and you're just going to get eaten alive.
Yeah. And I think, and you know, I appreciate the differentiation between people who are compromised, people, yeah. You know, of low integrity, people yeah. who are pawns for larger right. agendas. So I do feel like we would be wise to really be more exacting in our language because you're right. When everyone's a shill, that word means nothing.
Yeah.
And it really removes any gravitas from when that word is appropriate and when someone yeah. is really truly acting in these slimy ways knowingly.
So true. It's really tough. And I talked to a lot of people and I'm hearing more and more people that are expressing the sentiment that they're basically pulling the covers over their head. They're stopped. They give up. They're not even trying to discern what's going on. It's too complicated. Everything is progressing and accelerating, and everybody's a shill, and these people seem all powerful, and what good can I possibly do? It's little old me, and then people are just having a meltdown.
I think I, you know, my take on it is I think most everyone who's leading the truth movement, the freedom movement, I think they're compromised. I think they're pawns. I think they're in over their head mm-hmm. and are being controlled in ways that they don't understand, but I'm not pessimistic. I'm not hopeless. I know we're more powerful. I just know that our solutions are not going to come through any established leaders.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
even the idea of movements is offensive to me. Truth doesn't need a movement. It right. just is, you yes. know, and the fact that we think we need to fight for it is already weakening our position instead of just standing in what we know to be true and not backing down.
Yeah, it's a hope that we have. I think most content creators believe in a trickle-down effect. So, you know, why are we doing this? Well, if we free enough people's minds, they'll begin to change their behavior and that will bring an impact. So that's why I like the American State National movement or the legal education movement, because it's sort of a kinetic thing. It's operationalizing truth, where you then actually free yourself from the tyranny and the enslavery in real measurable ways. But, you know, we all can go, you know, to the city council meeting. I did that a couple of times. And I just am torn as far as where my allegiances lie between patriotism and Christianity. Like, who gets the back seat? Who gets my time? The truth or community, you know, there's sort of a hierarchy of ideals that I'm struggling with. What does God want me to do? And I think I know, but I just have to kind of sort out how I allocate that because there's so much need in all these different spheres, right? It's totally. Hard to know where to go.
Is there any conflict that you're seeing between what God wants you to do and patriotism?
Well, it's clear, you know, if the Bible was just about saving souls, it would only be like a half a centimeter thick, but it's 2 inches thick. So it does address all the spheres of life. And from what I can see, looking at the whole counsel of God, there were three institutions that God created to order society. One is the church, one is marriage, and one is the government. Governments were created essentially by the God and his kingdom, and then the laws of God are actually where Black's laws come from. All the legal system is based on the Black's law, which is based on biblical principles. So it's Judeo-Christian principles. So, and then
do you see integrity in the legal system? Like, do you see Black's law book representing a system that is in alignment with God's principles? Much for tuning into the first half of my conversation with John Kerwin. As you are interested in tuning into the second half, please find that on both of my Locals and Patreon communities, where my supporters get access to all of my second half conversations, my post-show throwdown bonus videos, and oodles of extra awesome bonus content, advance notice of courses, special discounts, etc., etc. Those communities are dannycatz.locals.com and patreon.com/dannycatz. I'm also reminding you to sign up for my newsletter at dannycatz.com. It is the best way to ensure that we keep in touch in light of so much thought policing, censorship, and other big tech shenanigans. I'm also reminding you that my new book, The Language of Betterarchy, is on sale now in print, ebook, and audiobook versions. So nab that on Amazon if you would prefer not to give your money to Amazon. Respect. You can email me through my website, and I'm happy to arrange for a private sale. Last announcement, my Pop Propaganda digital course is on sale now. This is a really valuable tool when it comes to safeguarding ourselves from media manipulation, propaganda, and groupthink, as well as a fantastic means of cultivating our critical thinking, confidence, and agency. The course is super very appropriate for grownups as well as teens. So run, don't walk to poppropaganda.com to sign up. Your registration gets you instant lifetime access to all 11 modules, and it's pretty awesome. All right, that does it for housekeeping. Thanks again for tuning in. Thank you for remembering that every word matters, that you are omniscopic amazingness. Have a rockin' day.
And for clicking that subscribe button, for liking, for sharing, for commenting, and for leaving some kind words as a review, as you are authentically inspired. As you are receiving any value from my podcast, as you dig it, as you listen regularly, consider supporting me on Patreon and or Locals, where for as little as $5 a month, you get access to all of my second half podcast interviews, as well as oodles of bonus content. Your support really goes a long way in supporting me as a journalist and an independent content creator navigate her way through a really crunchy time in terms of free speech. And as you are wanting to learn more about my work in the world, my books, my products, my quantum languaging coaching and consulting, you can find me at dannycatz.com as well as quantumlanguaging.com. And if you're not down with a membership patronage platform and want to send me a one-time donation, you can use the Bitcoin link if it actually appears on your podcast listening platform. You could also send me a one-time donation by way of PayPal at dannycatz@pm.me or by way of Venmo, where my username is Sadie Bloom. Again, your support means the world and makes a massive, massive difference when it comes to continuing to share this work with the world. Thank you for sharing your sacred attention with me. Thank you for remembering that you are omniscopic amazingness and for having a rockin' day. See you next time, superstars.